Should anti-abortion protests outside clinics used by women who want determination be banned? I know you'll have read of this in the news, even here in Belfast over the last few years, outside the likes of the Mary Stopes Clinic in Belfast city centre. Well, a council in West London is close to taking action against pro-life campaigners. They've been accused of harassing and intimidating women outside the Matlock Lane Clinic. Ealing councillors backed the ban in October, and now the council's cabinet has voted as part of the next stage in getting the ban enforced. The Good Council Network, which holds they have like daily vigils outside this centre in Matlock Lane, they deny harassing women. So what do you think should happen here? Should we have a similar ban, or would that limit free speech and the right to protest? Gráinne Taggart is from Amnesty International, and Marion Woods is from Life NI. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinny. Good morning.
Marion, this is always a very sensitive subject because people are so passionate about abortion rights, and then you mix that with the right to protest. Where do you and your group stand on this?
Well, thank you very much, Vinny. Life Northern Ireland, as an organisation, we don't protest outside clinics. Indeed, we don't protest at all. However, as you said, we also recognise the right to freedom of assembly, and therefore we defend that right, you know, even if it's an activity that we don't actually do ourselves.
We should say as well, Mary Stopes closed in Belfast last year, towards the end of the year actually. It followed the government's move to fund abortion treatment for women from Northern Ireland on the NHS. Gráinne, the right to protest, the right to stand there and say I disagree with what you are doing is one thing, and then there is that line where it comes to harassment and making people feel perhaps intimidated. And I say again that particular group in England, they deny harassing women. But your view on that, Gráinne?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in these very difficult circumstances, it's the responsibility of government to consider the balancing of these freedoms, as you've mentioned. So obviously the right to protest. But regrettably, what we are talking about here, and certainly what we have witnessed, is not peaceful protest. It very much crosses the line into intimidation and harassment of service users outside clinics. And now that the Mary Stopes Clinic has closed in Belfast, outside organisations such as the Family Planning Association,
yes,
which is the only organisation here to provide non-directive pregnancy choices counselling, that office has been picketed now for the past 20 years. So when we have these circumstances where women are clearly expressing that they feel harassed and intimidated, then the government has to consider how do we protect women in those circumstances, and how do we ensure that their right to healthcare and information is not obstructed. And regrettably, what we do see is that obstructed by these anti-choice activists outside these offices.
So what do you think, Marion? Should protesters try and engage with women that are attending places like the Family Planning Association, or should they be allowed to attend those places without meeting some frustrated and quite vocal, often, protesters?
Well, the first thing I'd like to just come back on is that actually Life Northern Ireland, Gráinne, offers non-directive counselling, so we are another organisation in Northern Ireland that do that. Secondly,
is that
already said,
Marion?
No, because we're pro-life.
So then
we offer non-directive counselling. I didn't say we offered services for abortion. I said we offer non-directive counselling. A woman is free to talk about whatever she wants.
Let me amend that to non-directive and non-judgmental.
It is non-directive and non-judgmental, that's right.
So
thank you for
on abortion.
One at a time. Marion, you finish your point. Gráinne, I'll bring you back in.
Sorry, just to go back to the harassment issue. If harassment is taking place, then we already have laws in place. We have the Public Order of Act of 1986. We have the Police and Criminal Evidence Act of 1984.
Okay, well, Marion, what do you count as harassment then? And I'm taking aside, let's assume that there's nothing illegal. When it comes to people that are shouting, they're holding placards, they are maybe handing out leaflets, sometimes with kind of graphic images on them, trying to get their point, a very valid point many would agree, across. You know, there will be people that will interpret that as intimidation of some kind, although not illegal.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, if people do feel like that, then they have the absolute right to go, and they can bring that forward, and there can be evidence gathered, and that's perfectly fine. I think there's an interesting larger question here, Vinny, actually at hand, and it's interesting, you know, that you have Amnesty International on this morning. This is about freedom of expression, and actually, what we have seen over the past 13 months is at least 9, if not more, attempts to silence pro-life voices. So is Amnesty International really standing over the attempt to silence voices and the attempt to stop free speech. Is that what Grainne is actually advocating?
Okay, Grainne, you'll want to respond to that.
Yeah, I mean, Marion's obviously misunderstanding the point that I've just made, so I'll make it again, which is that our government has a responsibility to fulfil their legal obligations, which includes taking effective measures to protect and guarantee women's right to health. And that also includes information that they may receive from organisations like Family Planning Association. Where that crosses a line into harassment and intimidation, and most importantly, obstruction of that healthcare, then action needs to be taken. Now, if we consider for a minute, and I appreciate now that the office is closed or that the premises are closed, but if we look at Mary Stopes, for example, you know, the situation was such that they felt compelled to ensure that escorts, one who was would wear a body camera and other two would hold a walkie-talkie with an emergency button that was linked to the clinic, escorted service users to and from those premises. Now, that therefore begs the question, why would that be necessary if what women were experiencing was peaceful protest? And then if we look at Family Planning Association, we know that there is a member of staff there where a protester was convicted for assaulting an FPA employee in the belief that the employee was a pregnant woman leaving a counselling session. Now, despite that conviction, that individual continues to stand outside the FPA offices without sanction. So there is a question that there is certainly a question that needs to be addressed here. There is a situation outside FPA now that if we had a devolved government, that they should be addressing, but we don't. So therefore, we have to look to the Westminster government. Now, just if I may, just particularly focus on the experience of women here. I mean, that is highlighted in the fact that in April of last year, members of Belfast City Council passed a resolution which condemned the harassment and intimidation that was taking place outside these facilities. Again, if what these women were experiencing was not harassment and intimidation, then why did it pass at Belfast City Council? And why do we continuously hear of these experiences?
Sorry, Danae, if you don't mind. I mean, I just want to make it clear again to your listeners that Life Northern Ireland, we don't protest outside any clinic and we don't stand outside any clinic. And I can't actually comment on the individual.
But of course, you do defend the right of other individuals to do just that, Marion.
And actually, absolutely we do, Danae. And actually, I think it's very interesting here.
Can I ask why your group does not do those types of protests or of meetings?
Historically, we just haven't. Historically, our services have been around education and counselling, and we actually, you know, we have an education service, so we actually go into situations where we can have face-to-face discussions with people. That's just been historically the way our group has operated, and it has never felt the need to change. But I think what we have done is, as you know, we have joined the Both Lives Matter campaign. Now, that is a pretty public campaign, although we don't protest, and none of the groups involved in that do. However, it's interesting that Grainne is talking about, you know, peaceful protests and things, and saying that, you know, this isn't about silencing, because actually there has been an attempt to silence us, and we aren't standing outside clinics. We aren't doing any of these things, and yet there is still a very clear attempt to silence what we are trying to say and to silence our voice. And most notably, through two main points, and if you just give me a second to outline those, the most recent one was in November, December of last year, whenever, as Both Lives Matter, we actually won the Best Campaign in Northern Ireland award at the Public Relations Communications Association Affairs Ceremony for our groundbreaking 100,000 campaign. And the British Pregnancy Advisory Service withdrew from their own category, protesting that we had won that, and we won it fair and square. The second was actually going back to this time last year when we did erect our Both Lives Matter 100,000 billboard, which showed that from our statistics and our report that 100,000 people are alive today in Northern Ireland because we did not enact any abortion law here. We were reported to the Advertising Standards Agency, and actually after a very thorough investigation, they came back and they endorsed our report, and they said yes, that it was a very plausible estimate. And so they upheld our figure. And even the Guardian newspaper recently.
Right, okay, we're getting a bit off point here, Marion,
to be totally honest.
I understand, but there are many advertising campaigns that receive many complaints, and many of them are swept away, and regardless of what the campaign is for. So let's just try and stay on point morning. You've had plenty of time there. I want to bring Grainne back in. Grainne, in your own opinion, what is a peaceful protest? Because, you know, once again, this is putting anything illegal to one side, and the intimidation element, which can be very much subjective in terms of who is on the receiving end of that. But what constitutes a peaceful protest?
Well, look, I mean, if someone, for example, was standing outside and they're holding, say, for example, images that aren't graphic to the extent that they would cause distress, or they are maybe just standing by peacefully, quietly protesting, they're perfectly entitled to do so. But that is not what is happening outside FPA. It was not what was happening outside Mary Stokes. And actually, yeah, if I could just make a point, because there was obviously a journalist who herself went undercover to actually to expose what women were experiencing outside the Mary Stokes clinic, and that was done, I think, a year or two ago as well. And she herself was chased up the street. She had plastic fetuses shoved in her face. She was told information, like, or misinformation, like having an abortion would give you cancer, that you would never get over this, that it would lead to depression, it would lead to X, Y, and Z. This is what women are being confronted with. That is not peaceful, and it very much crosses the line into intimidation and harassment. That is where women and service users and service providers will rightfully look to government to take some action to ensure that women can access their services unobstructed, and that staff can go to and from their place of work safely, because, as I've mentioned, there has been a conviction for an FPA employee. All of that points to the fact that these protests are not peaceful. Now,
is it fair to tar them all with that same brush? Are you trying to say that there isn't anyone that attends these protests that does so in a peaceful manner?
No, I am saying that there is enough of a problem that action needs to be taken. Now, before the Assembly shut down, if you like, before we didn't have our devolved institutions, Claire Bailey, the MLA for South Belfast, she was working on a private members' bill which was seeking to address the harassment of service users here, but obviously there's no executive in place, so that initiative has had to be put on hold. But at the first stage of that public consultation, she had approximately 600 replies that overwhelmingly supported some form of what might be referred to as a buffer zone, but effectively translates to a safe access zone for women to access these premises to and from without being confronted with the intimidation and harassment that exists today.
Okay, so let's take a call on this. No, not just for a moment, please. Tony in West Belfast. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Tony. Funny, your contributor, Marion, made the point that she thought this was an attempt to silence peaceful protest. Well, at least it's a direct way of trying to challenge what's going on outside these clinics.
Tony, your line is terrible. I'm not sure if you're on a hands-free or whatever it is, but we can't really hear you very well.
Hold on, Tony. Any better?
Yes, that is better.
Okay. Well,
No, Tony, it's just not working. I'm sorry. Marion, you want to back in there?
I just wanted to say, Vinny, if you don't mind, that actually outside Ealing, which is obviously that was the top of your story, that it was peaceful protest that was happening. Now, I appreciate that I don't live in Ealing, but I have a colleague from our main charity who has lived in Ealing for a long time now. And that protest by the pro-life campaigners there, I have to say again, not Life as a charity, but she walks past those. And for 20 years, that has been a peaceful protest. The problem actually arose 2 years ago when the counter-protest, who absolutely have the right to be there, and I stand over their right to be there too, actually. But the problem arose then when they became quite antagonistic. And actually, the other night at the public meeting that was held, one of them stood up and said, and this is a quote that I got last night, "Ealing Council are pioneers and the world is watching." So this is actually a strategy. This is an attempt to close down, because actually there are no graphic images outside Ealing, which is the focus. Well,
let's focus. Yes, I understand that, but we're talking about here and not how this should be applied here. Do you agree, yes, Marion, that there will be some that say, look, when it comes to intimidation, even the presence of someone outside saying that they disagree with what you are doing, some people will find that intimidating?
Well, some people might, but I think the thing is, as the law stands, we have freedom of assembly. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I could walk down the street in Belfast and there could be a protest about something that I disagree with. And that is just that we live in a democratic free society. And so again, if there is harassment happening, we do have the laws. And Grainne has said that the government needs to to take action. Well, the government has taken action. We have laws that cover harassment. And in the cases that she was talking about, you know, in terms of escorts and things,
if there are
body cameras being worn, then bring that to the police. Bring the evidence to the police, and the police will deal with the evidence.
Okay, just final word on this to you, Grainne.
Look, the bottom line is this, and I'll go back to the point that I made at the beginning, which is that it has to be about the balancing of freedoms. What Marion is describing in terms of, you know, peaceful protest is not what is happening outside of these offices. And on the point on Aileen, there's over 300 people who have wrote to the authority describing the anti-choice protesters as intimidating and harassing. So there's obviously quite a number of people there who disagree with the view that she has just outlined. Now, what the UK government is doing at the minute is they're conducting an investigation and consulting around whether or not further action and further legislation, etc., needs to be put in place. That process will obviously now run. But the bottom line is this. Abortion is a personal, private decision, and it is completely unacceptable for any woman to face harassment or intimidation for exercising their right to healthcare.
Unfortunately, we need to leave it there, but thank you very much, Gráinne Taggart from Amnesty, and thanks to Marion Woods as well.